God has opened the sea and made a way. They were amazed. That's the wonderful God we serve. Just we depend on Him, He will be working on in our lives. Our churches, though become Christian, you know, see dead churches. A little bit of rain, a little bit of cold gives us a problem. But you have a passion for the Lord, you never care for any kind of situation what you are going through. Just move forward because God is there with us. One of the village pastors, you know, he was having a church where one person used to come. The whole chairs were empty. And they had a big bell, and they used to ring the bell, you know, when the church service starts, it's like one time you have to ring the bell, tung, that means the sign the church time has come, people should come. That's a neighborhood, people are living in that village, but no one came, even the bell rang. But there was a custom in that church that whenever any person from the church die, what happens is they're going to bring the dead body in the church and pray for that. And at that time, the villagers should be knowing about that. So they ring the bell continuously, tang, dang, 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 so that the people will be knowing about someone has died in our congregation, so that we have to go. So at that point of time, everyone in the village will come because someone has died. So one day, pastor made up his mind, thinking that, oh God, I'm going to ring the bell continuously. So he rang the bell on the Sunday morning, tang, dang, 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 dang. The people thought, oh, Sunday someone has died, so all the people have come to the church. It was a jam-packed people, you know. All church was been completely jam-packed with people. But pastor should tell the people that someone has died, because people are very much eager to see who has died. So pastor has put a coffin box in the church. So everyone, you know, coming and, you know, looking at who died. And they're just going back and standing there. Someone comes, seeing again. Ooh. Everyone is stunned. Who died? Do you know who died? Everyone in the church died. Because what the pastor has done, you know, he has had a coffin box, but he has made a mirror inside the coffin box. So every person who comes and sees who dies, they can see their own face. Oh, when did I die? I died. They go back. Second one comes, he sees, when did I die? So pastor has made a mirror in the coffin box. Then the pastor comes to the pulpit and say, this is the day that the church has died. When we are alive, we do something for the God. A dead person cannot clap for God. A dead person cannot sing for God. A dead person cannot preach for God. A dead person cannot do anything. But we are alive in Christ. That's what Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 says. You know, once upon a time we are dead through sins what we have done. But we are now alive. Are we alive? The church is alive or the church is dead? The church should be alive so that we can do wonderful things for our Lord. And God will be happy because I have redeemed them. I have given my own life to these people. And God has a purpose for giving His life. When He has given His own life, He has did not given His life for without a purpose. You and me have a purpose, and that's the reason He has given His precious life to us. Yes, what Pastor Jamie was saying is right. We hear a lot of sorrowful news that the people dead in Orlando, Florida, you know, so many killed. But my question today, for the people in the sanctuary, what happens if you're going to die today? Are you prepared? That's an important question. You know, we don't know what happens. The thunderstorm, you know, many people were killed. We don't know what happens. If we are dead today, are we prepared for that? Today I'm going to talk about, are we really prepared for the life after death? There is a life after death. Are we really prepared for that? People don't bother about listening that. We don't want to listen that kind of things because, you know, we are least bothered about things, what's going to happen in this life. We want something from God in this life. God bless me. God bless me. God bless this America. God bless America. Good. Every time we need blessing from God. But my question, after we die, where are you going? Let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 16. We're going to read this Lazarus and the rich man story which Jesus has spoken, you know. There was a rich man, Luke chapter 16 verse 19. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. So Jesus is talking in this parable about the life on this earth. And Jesus is talking in this parable about the death. And Jesus is talking in this parable about the life after death. So three things we're going to see in this parable about the life on this earth, about death, and also about the life after death. So Jesus is talking about this. And Jesus is talking about a rich man who's a religious man too. He knows Abraham, means he's a religious man, he's a Jew. People think we are religious, and you know, people want blessings from God. He's so blessed. Say that, you know, there was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. So every day was a luxurious life. You know, this rich man had everything. He has good food. He has a good dress. He has everything, dressed wonderfully. And he had, you know, everything in his life, whatever he need. He thinks that God has blessed me. And that's the reason I am been having the blessings of God. And God has blessed me so much. There was a beggar in front of him, you know, lying in 19th verse, at his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. At the other side, you see a poorest of the poor man. The one side we're going to see the rich man, the other side you see the poorest of the poor, who doesn't have a house to live in. He is living outside of the house of the rich man. He doesn't have a good health to take care. He is having all open sores. And the sores are oozing out with the blood and smelling. Filthy. Dogs come and lick. I think you have never seen that kind of dogs. Maybe in India, if you're going to come, you're going to see the street dogs. Everywhere you find street dogs. And the dogs will be on the roads, on the streets. This man is on the street and the dogs were there licking his sores. Just imagine. There's two kind of people living in this earth. People think I'm so blessed because God has given me all these riches. But at the same time, they see the poor man, they see the poorest of the poor, and some people think, you know, maybe God has cursed these people. People think blessing is, becoming rich is a blessing and poverty is a curse. I just read these verses in the Bible, thinking about Lazarus. I just can examine, you know, myself, that my country, living in the poorest of the poor, in the slums, the comparing to those people, it's the same, exactly the same. Had nothing, this man had nothing, absolutely nothing. I work in the slums in India, where the people doesn't have nothing, absolutely nothing. They live on the streets. putting some hut like that. Government has given a house scheme for those poorest of the poor people living in hut, and that's called the slums. And they have built a one room house which can accommodate only, you know, one person. But you know how many live in that house? Nearly 10 people are living. And one room is the living room, the bedroom, the bathrooms, the kitchen, everything for them. Open sewages. All mosquitoes, flies, insects. The sewage, you know, smelling. Pollution. People don't have anything to eat. The main meal for an Indian people is the rice. And for the buying the rice is also very hard. Because the whole day he's going to work, he's going to get the maximum wage is $8. The whole day. It's not an hourly basis that they're going to get the payment. Whatever work you do, you know, like in most of the daily labors will be paid on average daily salary is $8. But the expenses are the same like your country. Even if you want to buy a liter Pepsi bottle, it's the same, the $1 in our country too. They don't have rice, they don't have food. To buy a rice of 2 kgs cost them $1. They got only $8, and what are they going to get? With the rice, they cannot cook the rice. They have to buy the bamboo stick, it's called the firewood, or they have to buy the gas to make the fire. They only rice, you cannot eat it. You have to have some curry or something like that, buy that. What is enough? The money what they're earning on a regular daily basis is not at all enough to cover their food, to eat the, you know, feeding themselves and their children and their families. The poor is the poor, desperate need. But you know, God has sent me to that place to work in that slums. I've never experienced those kind of things in my life. Because my father was well settled. We are having a nice, beautiful house to live in. But I go to that place called Vijayawada for doing my engineering studies. God takes me to the slums where this kind of poorest of the poor. Whenever I read this story, the Lazarus, I can compare it to the people in the slums. In a desperate need. And they are so faithful when they come to know about Lord Jesus Christ. They don't have anything to give to God. But you know what they're going to bring? They bring rice. They bought the rice for their food, for the stomach, that's the food they're going to eat. But they are so faithful in giving the tithe for what they bought. So they take the handful of rice and put it in a jar and bring that jar along with the Bible to the church to give us a living offering. You know that's an offering they give to the Lord. So faithful, even in the poorest of the poor conditions. Many people go hungry stomachs every day. One person was reporting me saying that, Pastor, I was faithful in taking the rice every day, what I eat. Before we cook, we take a handful of rice and keep it aside. And it was pouring of rain. We did not go for work the whole day. And we did not have money to buy the rice. But we see the jar which we took every day, the handful of rice is there in front of us. We can cook that rice and eat. But we don't want to take God's tithe and use it. So we were going hungry stomachs, going to bed, and we brought this rice as an offering to God. What a faithful That's how we could run the ministry over there, by their faithful sacrificial offerings. That's the reason Lazarus was a honored man. It's not the matter of how you live in this, means how you, whether you live a richful life, you know, with the luxury, you know, or the poor people, you know. But it's life, or did you accept Jesus in your life and live a life which pleases God? Are we satisfied of what God has given us? Are we happy? Are we thankful for God? We don't want to thank God. Having a gratitude is very important. People think this is because I am earning a lot of money. It is because of my knowledge. It is because of my power. It's because of my brilliant brain I'm getting all these things. No, it's because of the grace of God that you have been blessed to be born in a country called United States of America. But it is not a curse of God that the people, the poorest of the poor, are the people born in India in the slums. No. Everyone has a purpose in our lives. Let us be thankful for what God has done in our lives, what God has been blessing in our lives. And let us be a blessing to the people, blessing to our neighbors, blessing to the people who are in need. We want everything for ourselves. That's the reason 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1 to 5, if you're going to read that, you know, there the God is talking about, you know, the last days people will be selfish, lovers of themselves, loving ourselves more than God, loving our pleasures more than God, loving money. My dear brothers and sisters, I just encourage you this evening. Are we really thankful and be in gratitude for our Lord Jesus, what God has given us? One person comes to the church and praying, Lord, give me good shoes. Already he had 10 pairs of shoes, but he wants a very good pair of beautiful leather shoes. Another person comes and sits in front beside him and he prays, thank you, Lord, for giving me good eyes to see and read your Bible, Lord. Thank you for giving me good ears to hear your word, O Lord. Thank you for giving me good, Lord, mouth to sing for you, O Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving me good hands to clap for you, praise for you, to glorify you, Lord. Who is this man who's praying like that? He just opened his eyes and he saw this man. He was asking for nice good shoes, and this man was just thanking God for giving all what God has given him. He opens his eyes and sees this man and close backs again and says that, I don't want shoes, Lord. Thank you for giving my good legs. Why did he pray like that? Because when he seen that man, something happened to him. Because that man has ears, that man has ears, that man has eyes, that man has, you know, mouth, that man has hands, but he doesn't have both legs. He was just crawling and coming to the church and praying to God. He never complained that God has never given me legs. He was just thankful for God, but what God has given him. He was ashamed of seeing this man, you know, shameful. Oh, really? I'm asking these kind of things, but I'm not at all thankful for God, what God has given. Let us be thankful for what God has done in our lives. This man doesn't have anything, no house. He's just sitting at the gate of the rich man. No house. You are blessed with beautiful houses, nice cars. Thank God for that. You know how many people don't have a car? You have 3-4 cars, but you know, at least one car, people, you know, in all over the world, you see. How much? 1:1 how much? Just compare it. No good health. He don't have insurance to cover his health. He cannot go to the doctor. People in the slums are so poverty, they cannot go to doctor. They're not affordable to go to the doctor. They're not having a little bit rice to eat. Oh, how can they afford to go to the hospital? That's the reason SCC Ministries is helping those slums to go have the mobile clinic and get the doctors in the slums itself. Bring the doctors. Give them a little bit of honorariums and ask them to come. And they're coming. We buy the medicines free and give them the free of cost so that they can have good health and pray for them. Open wounds. Like this man, the Lazarus was having sores. People, open wounds. Their legs are open wounds. Many legs has to be amputated, infected. Pus is coming out. The bloody will be coming out. All the flies, all the mosquitoes will be on the wound. Open wounds, open sores. And the water is filthy. Open sewages. All smelling. Every day, there itself poop. They do the poop, they do the pee on the roads. Smelling. No bathrooms because, you know, we have 1.2 billion of people, but the bathroom facilities are not there. So where the people will go for poop and pee? Is that they go outside, no bathroom facility. Even the government is also not providing anything. Smelling atmosphere. Water is contaminated. People have to go and get the water. Sometimes the water doesn't come. Nothing to drink. They wash their clothes, no laundry. They have a rock in front of them. They just beat their clothes to the rock. And they don't have water to rinse it or to do spinning or something, what you do in the laundry. They have to go to the pond or a lake or a river and wash their clothes. They have to take their clothes to that pond. They have to take their clothes to that lake and wash there. And there people go and take bath in that same lake. People go to poop there and they come and wash in that lake. That's the water they're going to take bath. This is the conditions. People are living for other side very rich, and the people are living in other side very poor, the poorest of the poor. It's very hard on me to live with those people. It was very hard on me saying that I'm not going to live with these people, Lord. I thought of many times quit it and go back. But God said, I came to this world leaving all my glory. Do you remember that? When I left everything and came to this dirty world, you know, your sinful world, to cleanse, to make you purify, and to make you my sons and daughters, why can't you work in the slums? Sorry, Lord. I was crying many times. I'm sorry to tell that, Lord. I go back. For the last 24 years, I am working in that slums. My father is also very dedicated. He comes with his wife, my mommy, to this place and lives in the slums, the poorest of the poor area, for the last 22 years. He served the Lord. My mother and my father were helping me in the ministry. They're sleeping on the floor. The snakes used to come. My dear brothers and sisters, why I'm saying all these things, you know, people live in this world in a different atmosphere. One becomes rich and one is poor. But one day, you know, you have to think about why God has blessed me to be a blessing. I can live in a comfortable zone. I can live a wonderful place, but I dedicated myself to be with the slums, to be with the poorest of the poor, and be available to them. They call me the midnight, I go and counsel them. Many people, you know, the wives are been, you know, abused by the husbands. Many husbands will beat the wife like anything. With the sticks they're going to beat. All bled. They call me the middle of the night, Pastor, we need help. I just come from the meeting and I get a phone call at the middle of the night at 12:30. I have to go.
to help them, to counsel them. And they're in the slums, you know, but these people are not educated. So they fight. They fight in front of me too. They don't have any respect to their mates. So make them say, talk about God's word. Love them. Join their hands again. Pray for them. Come back. Many times, many families are joined, you know, and living a wonderful life. These people come to the church. Churches are jam-packed with people. Let's help those people, some people in your neighborhood, in your country, in West Virginia. Help the people around the world. You can come. I extend my invitation to you. You come, see what's happening over there. Be a part of this work. What God is doing the other side of the world. We are least bothered about the people. See, the rich man is so rich and so comfortable, he don't want to be bothered about the poor man, the Lazarus, who is in front of the gate, who is just sitting very near to him. He's just least bothered about helping that person. This man, longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. He is not longing to eat nice, delicious food. He is not longing to eat something from McDonald's or KFC or some places. He is longing to eat the crumbles, the fallen down pieces, the bread pieces. But not even that was being given by the rich man. Not even that. What kind of help is this? What kind of love is this? Are we showing the love to our neighbor? That's the commandments which God has given. Love God and love neighbors. Love others as you love yourself. He's a religious man. People think, I'm so religious, I can go to heaven. But he did not go to heaven. He knows Abraham. He may be a Jew. Jesus is talking about the Pharisees. This contest, if you're going to read, you know, the Pharisees were thinking about, you know, these kind of things. And they think that we are blessed because we have been blessed by God, and that's the reason we are raised. And the people are, you know, in poverty, they are cursed from God. You know, India also, so many think like that. India, we too have rich people. But the rich people doesn't bother to help the poor people because Hindu have a belief called karma. They have a belief called karma. What do you mean by karma? Karma means your fate. You have done something wrong, and that's the reason God has put you in this kind of tribulation. God has put you in this kind of poverty. And I'm not going to help you. If I'm going to help you, I'm going to go against my God, and I'm not going to do that. Your karma, you experience your fate. I'm not going to involve. That's the reason. Maybe he can help this man, but he don't want to help, I think so. He's longing to eat the crumbles. He can smell the delicious flavors from the kitchen of the rich man. He could just smell it, but he cannot taste it. Let's have a heart of love, helping our neighbors, helping people. We are so focused on our work, on our jobs, least bothered about that. We don't love our fellow brothers and our fellow sisters too. You know the story of Cain and Abel. Where is the true love between the two brothers? Cain killed his own brother. Hating our brother is killing our brothers. You don't need to murder. But murder, what is murder? Hating your brother is murder. Cain has murdered his own brother. Where is the love? In the Christian life, the first and the greatest principle is love. And the sincere love. The love comes from inside of our spirit. The love comes from the outside of the spirit is a false love. It's a hypocritical love. People love. I love you, brother. I love you, brother. Is it coming from? Some people will love in India. They will say, I love you, brother. Then they say, beside them, something else. God knows our hearts. People see outer appearances, but God looks at the heart. Where is our heart? Sincere love comes from the inside so that we can love our brother and sister. You know, that's what do you mean by sincere love? Sincere love is loving God and loving others. What is hypocritical love? Hypocritical love is a love which seeks his own interest and his own welfare. He is loving himself rather than loving others. We see also in Luke chapter 10 verse 31 also, we see the priest and the Levite. They saw the man beaten half dead by the sight. What did the priest and the Levite do? Did they help that man? Did they help their own brother? He is also maybe Jew? No. And the priest and the Levite are considered to be the righteous people in the Jews. They are considered to be a very righteous people. But they are so focused on their work, on their jobs. They are busy to show the love to their fellow brother, who was beaten by the robbers. Let us show something to the perishing souls. People are perishing, going to hell. It is our duty to show the love, and that's how we do in India, you know. We show our love towards them, and that's how the people are drawn to the true knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and give their hearts to Lord Jesus Christ. Let's love with a sincere love, not an hypocritical love. One day, everyone is going to die. Death is common to everyone. 22 verse says, Luke chapter 16 verse 22, the time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died. What do you mean by also? The rich man also, death is common to everyone. Whether you are a rich, whether you are a poor, it doesn't matter how you live this, you know, you live in this world in a luxurious life, you live in this world in the poorest of the poor. One day death is common to everyone. Maybe Lazarus died because of his sickness, because of his open sores, because of his infected legs, infected sores. No doctors, no medicines. Maybe he died. But what happened to the rich man? He has all doctors. He has all multi-speciality hospitals, super-speciality hospitals. He has a beautiful health care. He has a beautiful, you know, insurance to be taken care. But what happened? He too died. Death is common to every person. Death doesn't have any partiality. Death doesn't have any respect towards any person. Death comes to everyone. Whether you are rich, whether you are poor. Whether you're from India or from United States, it doesn't matter. Death comes to a doctor or to a patient. It doesn't mean that patient dies because of a sickness. But what about the doctor? Doctor too die. Doctor also will be die. Every death doesn't have any partiality. Death comes to a Christian and death comes to a non-Christian. Death comes to a pastor, death comes to a believer. It doesn't matter. But my question, why is death being introduced? You know, previously people used to live for 900 plus years. Do you know that? People used to live 900 years plus. Adam lived for 930 years. Enosh lived for 905 years. Seth lived for 912 years. Kenan lived for 910 years. Mahalalel has lived for 895 years. Jared has lived for 962 years. Methuselah has lived for 969 years. What about you and me? Are we living for 900 plus years? What happened? The death, you know. Now, Genesis 6:3 tells, then the Lord said, my spirit will not contend with humans forever, for they are mortal. Their days will be 120 years. It came down from 900 to 120 years. The maximum, you can see the Guinness Book of World Records, the maximum is 119. No one is living for more than 120. Because Jesus said, you know, then the Lord said, my spirit will not contend with the humans forever, for they are mortal. Their days will be 120 years. Okay, let us be satisfied for 120 years. Are we going to live for 120 years? Not sure. Why? Psalms 90 verse 9 and 10 says, our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Our days may come to 70 years or 80 years if our strength endures. 120 came down to 70 and 80. Okay, let us be satisfied with 70 or 80. Are we going to live for 70 or 80? That's doubtable. Because James 4:13-14 says that, now listen, you who say today, tomorrow we will go to this and that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why you do not know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. So it came down to a mist. So what's our lifespan right now? It's a mist. It just been seen and been vanishes. Not even 120, not even 70 or 80, like a mist. We see today, we don't see him tomorrow. That's the death. Everyone should face it. But Christian, as a believer in God, we have a hope for God. That's the reason we don't worry for death. First Thessalonians 4:13 says, brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be unified about, we do not want you to be uninformed about these who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of the mankind who have no hope. We don't worry about death because we have hope. So I'm talking, Jesus was telling about a story called Rich Man and Lazarus, a beautiful story. The life on this earth, and after that one day we have to complete and there is a death. Everyone should go to this place. And we have to go one day, leaving this earth with empty hands. We did not bring anything to this world. We are not going to take anything from this world. Alexander the Great, when he died, he told his people, said that, you, in my coffin box, you just put my hands outside the coffin box. And tell the people that I am going empty hands. I conquered the whole world, but I'm just leaving this earth with empty hands. Everyone should go with empty hands. Nothing we're going to take. But people are so selfish and self-centered, want to think everything for themselves. But one day we're going to leave everything in this earth. We are not going to take even our bodies too. We're going to leave our bodies on this earth and we have to go empty. We did not bring anything to this world. We are not going to take anything from this world. We did not bring your wife while you came to this world. You did not bring your children while you came to this world. You brought nothing. One day you're going to live, nothing you're going to take. But what you're going to take, you know, is very important, that, you know, the love from the people. You're going to take, you know, the souls, you know, you have saved some souls. Thank God, you know, my father and mother now went to the Lord. Death has come to everyone, even the godly people. Even the righteous people. But praise God, they're in heaven. They're in God's presence. One day we have to leave. But we have a hope in the Lord. That we are going to live with the Lord forever and forever. People think that life after death is nothing. because death is the end of the story. No, death is not the end of the story. Death is the beginning of the story. The story starts after our death, because that's the wonderful life which God has prepared for all of us. I just want to encourage you this evening. There is a life after death. People think there is nothing, but there is something. In the mother's womb, the fetus, the both fetus, you know, maybe thinking about, you know, what is life? Maybe in the stomach or the belly of the mother, living for 9 months, is that the only life? No. They're going to come out and experience this earth. Now people in this earth thinking that we are like in the fetus, like in the mother, in the belly of my mothers. We are thinking this is the world. No, this is not a permanent world. This is just a temporary. We're going to leave this world and going to live for God, with God forever and forever. There is a life. Jesus told about that. When he was hanging on the cross, Jesus said from Luke chapter 23, verse 43, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." What do you mean by that? You will be with me. After death, there is life. And you got to be with Jesus. We are going to be with Jesus. Thank God, my mother, my father is now with Jesus. They are living with Jesus right now. There is a life. They are living right now. There is life after death. Even Paul was saying in Philippians 1:23, "I am torn between two desires, to depart and be with Christ." Because when I depart, I go and be with Christ. One day we're going to leave this world and live with our wonderful God. There is so unbiblical views about death. There is a belief in India, because most of Hindus, you know, think that after death, what happens? They'll come back to life again in a different form. Maybe as a donkey, maybe as a pig, maybe as a dog. That is called reincarnation. And people believe in that. 85% of our country, you know, believe in that, because they are Hindus. They think, you know, when we talk about Jesus and we talk about the life after death, that's strange to them. Because we are thinking about, because we do a sinful life here, we are going to be born again as a, you know, dog or a monkey or something like that, another, you know, species. But we never thought that there is life after death, not on this earth, but there is something, you know, in heaven. Oh, that's wonderful, interesting to hear. Show the Bible verses about that. Jesus never told about this in reincarnation. There is nothing written in this Bible. People believe annihilation. And what do you mean by annihilation? Thinking that death is the end of our story. That's all. Death is the end of our story. No, death is not our end of our story. Some people believe about universalism. What do you mean by universalism? That everyone will go to heaven. Whether how you live in this world doesn't matter. How bad you live in this world doesn't count. Everyone will go to heaven. That is what the universalism believes. But as a believer, as a man, as a Christian, we'll believe in the true word. What Jesus has said. But there is a complete opposite of what the rich man has lived in this earth. He became the poorest of the poor in hell. The poor man, the Lazarus became the rich man over there. That's a complete opposite life. What he lived on this earth was the complete opposite what he lives after death. Previously, the rich man was inside, the poor man was outside. Now, he is outside. Now, the poor man is inside. Previously, the poor man was hungry, longing to eat something he did not get, But the rich man was having feast. But the life after death became opposite. He became so hungry, he just want at least the droplets of water. I am just so, you know, give me the drops of water at least. But at the same time, the poor man is having a feast in heaven. Feast. He's leaning on the bosom of Abraham. What do you mean by that? You know, you learn from Jesus' story. Jesus, you know, who is leaning on Jesus when he was on the earth? It is John, the dearest disciple. Why he was leaning? Because they were eating some food, you know. When they eat, you know, they lean on one another. So maybe, you know, Lazarus is having a delicious feast in heaven. He's leaning on Abraham and having a delicious meals. That is a complete opposite life. This man has need, that man has no need at all. The rich man is humiliated, but the wonderfully he is honored, the poor man. The rich man is nobody. The poor man is somebody. That's the reason he has a name. Lazarus. You know, you don't require any name in hell, because you are nobody in hell. For him there is punishment, there is a reward for him. There's a life after death. For him there is suffering. For the Lazarus it's a rest. For the rich man it's a great pain. And for Lazarus it's a wonderful, happiest place. The rich man wants help, but the poor man doesn't need any help. Now he's in heaven with the presence of God. What a difference of life after we die. The life of, you know, that's very important. It will be counted. People think we are going to live the same life in hell, in heaven also. No. You're just going to go from this place, from this mansion to that mansion. Unless you've been born again, you cannot inherit this kingdom of God. You have to be born twice to die once. If you're going to be born once, you have to die twice. Are you born twice? What do you mean by born twice? Being born twice means first birth is from our mother's womb. What is being born again? That's the second birth, you know. Being born again. Unless you've been born again, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. So if you are born twice, you're going to die once. Once means one day we are going to die. That's a physical death. But if you're going to born once, you're going to die twice. What do you mean by death twice? First death is the physical death, and the second death is the burning of sulfur. That's what you can read in the Bible. Revelation chapter 21 verse 8. You know, these are the people who will go to hell. And they said, you know, this is the burning of hell, and this is the second death. My dear brothers and sisters, finally, before I want to close, I want to ask you, why did the rich man go to hell? Why did the rich man go to hell? Why the people go to hell and the torment? The answer is there in the Bible. 27th verse. He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Then what was the answer? Abraham replied, "Then they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." So the answer is, why do you go to the torment, the place of torment, if you're not going to listen? If you're not going to listen. If they're not going to listen to the prophets, if they're not going to listen to the Moses, the teachings of Moses, if they're not going to listen to the word of God, they're going to be perished. So it's a duty of each believer, in this congregation who has come to this sanctuary right now to preach about Jesus, to bring souls to the Lord. Unless you talk about Jesus, how can they hear? Unless they hear, how can they believe? It's so important in our life that you have to proclaim about Jesus. That's the reason 24/7 we are working in India to preach the gospel in the slums. That's the reason we are on television, because in India, 1.2 billion of people living in our country. Out of 1.2 billion of people, 500 million people have never heard the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ at least once. That's the reason working day and night to preach the gospel. Before I come to United States, do you know how many messages I recorded to get on TV? 80 messages. 80 sermons. Why? Why I have to work hard? You know, to get one sermon, how much hard work you have to do? How much you have to be spending in the presence of the Lord for getting a one sermon? To know the heart, Lord's heart, and to know and to practice that and to preach to people. Their passion is for to reach souls, the millions for the Lord. Every day we are on television from morning 6 to 6:30, evening 9 to 9:30 in a satellite channel called Calvary TV and the Hope TV, like Nirikshana TV. Why? You know how much it costs? For one program it costs 150 bucks. Every day you have to pay 150. Where are you going to get that? It's faith we just stepped out. Through faith. And God has opened the doors. You know, my father expired. After my father's death, there is money left over. And that money could sponsor all this TV program till the last month. We don't know where the money comes from. But we have to continue preaching that. But I believe that God will open the doors. You can make a difference in the people's life in our country. You can help. You can be a blessing. Your church can be a blessing. You can be a wonderful blessing to our country in India to reach people, because there are people like 1.2 billion. Half of the population of the whole world is resting in China and India. Half of the population of the whole world. So the people are more there knowing nothing about Jesus. At least they did not hear once about Jesus. We go to some villages and talk about Jesus. Do you know Jesus? Those people will say, we never heard his name. Find him in the next village. They think Jesus means is the name of a person. He doesn't live here. You find him in another village. That's what they say about Jesus. They do not know anything about Jesus. So, you know, need of the gospel. So unless it is being preached, you cannot, you know, give your life. So this man in the hell asking, you know, Abraham to send Lazarus so that he can talk. The dead man should rise. Do they believe even the dead man will rise? No. That's what he has written, you know, in the last words, you read it, you know. He said to him, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead. They will not be convinced. Even someone rises from the dead. Who is the someone? Jesus. Jesus rose again, but they were not convinced. People did not believe. Unless you preach, they cannot repent. You know, the repentance of the word is used by this rich man in the hell. You know, you can read on 29th verse. No, Father Abraham, he's telling, you know, he's talking to Abraham. No, Father Abraham, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. So the word repent comes from the mouth of a rich man. He knows that he has to repent, but he did not repent. Now he asks, he thinks, you know, his brother should repent if someone goes and preaches to him, talks about Jesus. So it's necessary for every person in this world to repent for their sins and ask forgiveness. How are they going to repent unless they're going to be reached, unless they've been preached about Lord Jesus Christ? unless they've been hearing about Jesus, how can they repent? How can they believe? How can they accept Jesus? How can they give their lives? People are perishing. Pray for our country too. People are perishing in West Virginia. People are perishing in the United States. It's a burden for each one of us to win souls. And that's the reason. Let's work for God and let's preach the gospel. Let them hear. That's the reason 24/7 we work. We preach the gospel. We tell about the testimony. Whenever we get time, we talk about Jesus. One day, I was traveling, you know, because I was preaching in different places and I have to travel and go back on Saturday to go to my church over there, because we have like speaking engagement. In Sunday, we know we work from morning 6 o'clock till evening 10:30. Night 10:30. So that's our schedule. So Saturday I was preaching in a different place and I have to take a train and go back to Vijayawada. So I was in the train. It's 11 o'clock already. I have to sleep a little bit to get rest because this train will go to Vijayawada at 5 o'clock. And immediately I have to go take bath and go for preaching. So the only time I can rest is in the train for just a few hours. So I immediately went, you know, climbed up my, you know, third berth. So the top floor, you know, top blur, that's like a three-tier berth. So I was trying to sleep. You know, I just prayed a little bit and I started praying. I slept. The person beside me sleeping woke me up saying that, what is the time? I told her it's the time, 11 o'clock. Which station is this? He's asking so many questions. I answered him. Then I turned this side, and because he is asking so many questions, I turned this side and was turning and I was sleeping. This man, I don't want him to be bothering me, you know. Jesus was talking to me saying that he wants to talk to you. You don't feel that he needs the gospel to be heard. Lord, you want me to preach to this man or give him a testimony in the middle of the night, 11 o'clock in the train? Yes. Tomorrow morning I have to preach in the churches. I know that. You talk to him. Mm-hmm. Okay, Lord. Then I turned to this side, started talking with him. This man, after talking, making a short story short, this man, after talking, he turned on the light. Do you know who he is? He is the priest of the Hindu temple. Having a big mustache and beards, you know, and a dress, a Swami dress. And he is a Hindu temple, a big Hindu temple priest. And I gave him a gospel the whole night till 1:30. And he was saying, why did he pull on the light, you know? He want to show me his wounded leg. He, you know, took away his pant like this and said, could you see this sore? I want to show you the sores, the wounds. My leg is completely infected. Can your Jesus really heal me? I want that Jesus. Can you pray for me? That's the reason he turned on the light. People are desperate, need to listen the gospel. But we are just sleeping. We are just not want to work for God. It is our duty every day to preach God, to testify about what God has done in our life. People are eager. People are hungry to hear about Jesus. He gave his heart at that moment. Morning, we slept for just few hours. I get up at 4:30. I was reading my Bible for the devotions. And this man comes back to my seat and says, can I have that Bible? Can I read the Bible? Can I have the Bible for myself? I want Jesus. Let's preach God. Let's be passionate for God. Whatever the opportunity which God gives us, let's make use of that opportunity. The first time I come to Canada in 2007, you know, they took my passport. The air hostess took me the passport in the airport. I don't know why they took out. Not in the flight itself. I asked them, where is my passport? We will give you when you get down from the plane. But when the plane landed in Toronto, in Canada, I did not get my passport. I was asking the air hostess. The air hostess said, it has been handed to the police. Why did you give to the police? They are going to interrogate you. Oh, I'm a terrorist or what? What did I do? But there is a purpose for everything. I go out. There is a policeman. I don't know the policeman because the dress uniform is completely different from India. That's the first time I come in 2007 in Canada. And those policemen, that policeman is asking me questions. Why did you come? What is the purpose of coming? And all these things. And finally he asked me one question. Because I was telling about the purpose of coming, to meet the people, to preach the word of God. I've been engaged in preaching in some other churches. I've been invited in the President Fellowship International Conference by Chakos, all these things. Then he asked me a simple question saying that, how did you become a pastor? Good question. If you're going to listen, this is a wonderful opportunity for me to share about Jesus to you. So I started talking about Lord Jesus, how God has healed my mother, how I came to the ministry. When I was starting talking with him, other police people have come. You know, like another police people have come. There were five policemen listening to my gospel for 30 minutes in the airport. And you know what did they say? Welcome to Canada, and they gave me the passport. Then I thought, okay. When I stepped in this country, God helped me to talk about Jesus and my testimony to the police officers in Canada. Praise God. Whenever the opportunity, let's make you, people should hear so that they will not perish and go to the eternal fire. I just plead you, ask you, to make use of the opportunity which God has given us in this life. To show the love, to help the people, to preach the gospel. Thank you very much for hearing me. God bless you.